I would invite you to turn with me to Psalm 40. Scripture reading is Psalm 40. For the choir director, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done, your thoughts towards us. There is none to compare with you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering you have not desired. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. You, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. God, I pray that you would use this section of your word in our lives this morning. God, I pray that you would use this private prayer from your man, David, expressed to you and then given for the use of the congregation. God, I pray that you would use it in our lives, that you would call us to worship. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This psalm is for the choir director. It is a sung prayer to be sung to musical accompaniment. It is one of the psalms that is especially for public worship, especially for worship in the temple. It is a prayer of David, sung to God, a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. It's a prayer of petition. One note, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 10, indicate this is definitely, at least part of it, definitely a messianic psalm, definitely being fulfilled by Jesus Christ when he was here on the earth, at least a portion of it. The context here, David is in trouble. David is facing opposition. David has some overwhelming problem. In chapter 40, verse 12, he refers to the evils that are facing him that are beyond number. He cannot count the problems that he is having. We all comment on people or families that something happens and then something else happens and then something else happens, and we say, you know, when it rains, it pours, or why, you know, what, you know, why this family? And that's what's going on with David. His problems, really, his adversaries, the evils around him. In fact, he says they're beyond number. I can't count them. Verse 12, I'm surrounded. There's no escape. I'm overtaken by them. I cannot see. I can't see a way out of this. Verse 14, there are many that are seeking his life. Many are delighting in his hurt. He refers to this as being in a pit. He is being in a pit. In fact, we refer to people that have a lot of things going on. They're in the pits. You know, life's the pits. And David here is experiencing a pit in his life. And in response to that, in response to what's going on in verses 12 and following, he looks back at what has happened in his life. He looks back to a similar situation in his life. He looks back to what has already happened as he's looking forward to what is going to happen, and what's going to happen looks like disaster. And so he looks back at least another situation in his life that also looked like a disaster. He says back in chapter 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. The actual Hebrew there was, while waiting, I waited. While I was waiting, I waited. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he waited patiently. The actual wording there is, I was waiting, and in my waiting, let me explain something. I was waiting. I was waiting. And if you've experienced, I'm not good at that at all. But sometimes all we have to do all day is wait. We're waiting. If you've ever been delayed at the airport, or if you've ever been, yeah, and what are you doing? I'm waiting. I am waiting, and I don't do it patiently. The idea here is I was focused on waiting. My main employ at this point right here was waiting. The thing that I was most focused on, most purposeful about, was waiting. This is not careless. This is not inactive. This is not laziness. This is lived out. Listen to me. This is lived out trusting in the Lord. There is nothing, we're going to talk, there is nothing I could do about this situation I was in. There's no escape. There's no escape for me in this. So I'm going to go day by day in this pit waiting for the Lord, because I have nothing else to do. I have nothing else to escape. So I'm going to live this out trusting the Lord. He says here, I waited patiently for the Lord. And then notice, I was waiting, and then God does five things. God does five consecutive things here, five actions that God takes. Chapter 40, verse 1. He inclined to me. I was waiting for the Lord. He inclined to me. We've talked about this before. The wording there is, he leaned over to me. Now, y'all, God is not hard of hearing. Most of us in here are. And you, listen, let me explain something. I've told you this before. If you're saying something to me, if you're saying, and I'm looking directly at you, hear this now. If I'm looking straight at you and you're looking straight at me and you're talking, let me explain something. I have no idea what you're saying. Please say to me, turn your head. And you need, listen, you must speak into one ear or the other. If you're looking like that, I'm going to nod and smile. And if you're saying something I shouldn't be smiling to, I can't hear you. Right? If we're sitting across the table at a church supper, don't talk to me. Okay? Talk to the person next to you. I have no idea what you're saying. God here, David said, I was waiting and God leaned over. The actual wording there, God leaned over and put his ear to my lips. God Almighty, the maker and sustainer of the universe, leaned over so he could focus on what I was saying. He leaned his ear down to me. He inclined to me. Verse 1, and he heard my cry. He heard my cry. The actual wording there is, he heard it and responded to it. He heard it and recognized it for what it was and responded. He heard it in such a way that he was going to respond to it. Verse 2, he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. He brought me up out of the pit. The word here is translated pit, cistern, prison, dungeon, grave. He brought me up out of the grave. He brought me up out of the pit. He brought me up out of the miry clay. The actual description there is to be in something that is wet and slippery. And the bottom of the cistern that has several inches of old rotting mud in it. To the point that you can't get a footing. You can't get out. It's slippery. There's no way out. There's no way of escape. I'm in this. There is no way that I can get out. And he brought me up out. Verse 2, he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He brought me out of that position where I could not stand, and he set my feet on a solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. He made my footsteps firm. He made the steps that I take sure. Listen to what he's saying there. He gave me the ability to walk away from the pit. I couldn't get out of the pit. There was no way I could get out of it. He not only took me out of the pit, he put me in a place outside the pit where I could firmly walk away from the pit. He made it possible for me to not only get out of the pit, but to go on from it. In verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. He gave me, in doing this, he gave me a fresh occasion to praise. He gave me a new reason to sing. He gave me a reason to have new zeal and new passion and new wonder. One of the commentators that I read said, he took me out of the mire into the choir. Right, he took me from here, and he has given me a reason to sing. He saved me. He is the God of my salvation. Listen, that is what he has done for each of us in Christ. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, when we were dead, when we were in the grave, when we were in the pit of death, in our transgressions and our sins, he made us alive together with Christ. He rescued us from the domain of darkness where we were slaves, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Verse 4. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust. He has not turned to the proud. He has not turned to those who lapse into falsehood. This could also be translated, listen, how blessed is the man who's made the Lord his trust. He has not turned to pride, nor has he turned to falsehood. How blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord for his rescue, for his salvation, for his foundation, for his firm footing. He has not trusted in pride nor falsehood. No, David's here is talking about himself. When we are faced with a situation, when we are faced with an unescapable situation, especially if it's a situation that we have caused, especially if it's a situation that is a consequence of my sin, we naturally respond, first of all, in pride. It's not my fault. We either ignore it, we deny the need, or we're somehow self-reliant, self-sufficient, I will get myself out of this, or we rely on falsehood and we try to lie our way out. If we're honest, I think a lot of us, when we're immediately faced with something, when we're immediately faced with getting caught, I think if you're like me, my first inclination is to think, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Surely you know, if you're fixing to tell the truth, you don't have to wonder what you're going to say. If the thought comes, what should I say here? You know, Bart's here, so I can't go too far into this about police officers. If you're driving down the road and you see the lights behind you and you think to yourself, okay, what am I going to say? You're trying to think, what would be a plausible lie that might get me out of this? Just tell them, I like driving fast. See how that goes. All right? Sometimes we're fixing to get caught way worse than speeding. David, when he commits adultery with Bathsheba, and he is caught, and his reputation and his standing and his pride and everything that his position is in danger. His first response was falsehood. I'm going to manipulate. I'm going to cover this thing up. I'm going to cover this thing up. And eventually he goes into murder to cover up his sin. David here says, I know that when you trust in yourself and when you trust in saving faith and when you trust in deception, you're going to suffer. I also know when you trust in the Lord, you are blessed. Why? Verse 5. Because God is worthy of our trust. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done. Many are your thoughts towards us. God has done wondrous things. God, his thoughts are towards us. He says here, you are worthy of my trust. Therefore, verse 6, 7, and 8, listen to what he says. I'm giving myself to you. Verses 6, 7, and 8 are definitely messianic verses. They definitely fulfilled by Jesus Christ. They were also fulfilled by David. David here says, I'm giving myself to you. Verse 6, sacrifice and meal offerings you have not desired. Burnt offering and sin offerings you have not required. What he's saying there is, that's not all you require. Sacrifices brought, meal offerings brought, tithes and offerings brought, that's not all you desire. That's not. I'm giving myself to you. The acts of worship, ritual acts of worship, public acts of worship are right. They're just not all that God requires. He says it here in chapter 40, verse 6. My ears you have opened. The word there for opened is dug out. My ears you have dug out. Surely you know some people that need their ears dug out. You talk to them and it's like talking to a wall. You talk to them and sometimes they'll nod their head and you know by their face they haven't heard a thing that you said. There's two things here. He says here, you have dug out my ears. You have allowed my ears to hear. David talking to God. You have allowed my ears to hear. You have opened. You have allowed me to respond. You know, if you hear God's word and it bears fruit in your life, it is because God has dug out your ears and allowed you to hear in a way that is pleasing and honoring to Him. You guys all know that you, in having heard the gospel, those of you that are in Christ, having heard the gospel, you have, some of you growing up with it, you have responded to the gospel. There are other people that have heard the exact same gospel and have not responded. It's not because you're smarter. It's not because you're more in tune. It's not because you have more faith. It's because God has allowed you, in giving you life, in giving you faith, in giving you hearing. He has softened your heart and allowed you to receive the word of God. You have dug out my ears. The other allusion here, the word here for digging out your ears is to pierce your ears. You have pierced my ears, David says. David had pierced ears. David, there was a custom in those in Old Testament times, we see in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, that every given number of years, every Jewish slave, every Jew that was enslaved to another Jew, every 7 years had to be released and set free. And so at the end of the Sabbath year, a Jewish slave owner, if he owned Jewish slaves, had to set them free. Say, okay, you're free. And he had to provide something for them to go free. If, and we've talked about this before, if at that point right there, a slave said, no, I don't want to be free. You have given me my freedom. I now ask, can I be your slave? Can I be your servant? Can I be your bondservant for the rest of my life? I want to be under you. If a man chose to be someone's slave, when he was set free, he then voluntarily said, I want to remain under you. I want to be your slave. They would take the man to a post and they would put his ear over on the wood and they would take a sharp nail and they would put it on his ear and they would nail him to the post. And then they would wallow that thing around a little bit and pull it back out, and they would leave a man with what we would now call a gauge. That's really going to hurt us Presbyterians. And a man would have a large hole in his ear, and it was made large enough that it would not heal up. When it healed, there would still be a hole. And that marked you for the rest of your life as someone who said, I will be your slave. When you saw that man, you always ask one of two questions. Are you stupid? You chose to be somebody's slave. Other question is, can I meet your master? Can I meet you? You must have a great master that you chose to be his slave. David here says, you don't just want sacrifice. You don't just want meal offering. You don't just want burnt offering. You want everything. You have pierced my ear. So I said, verse 7, behold, I come. I'm here. Here I am. That's definitely a quote that Jesus Christ said later. David here says, my response to that was, okay, here I am. You gave me that response. In the scroll of your book, it was written of me. Listen to what David's saying. From eternity past, this was written down about me. I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is written within my heart. I have seen you. I've seen you. You drew me out of the pit. You've set me on solid ground. You have done all these things for me. And here is, listen to what he says. Here is my response. Here is what I do. Verse 9. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. Listen to what he's saying. I spoke. I respond. I respond to you. I proclaim your righteousness, your salvation. I will not restrain my lips. I will not keep my lips quiet. I will not hold back my lips. I will not allow myself to be shh. I will not allow somebody to say, hey, sit down. I will not be shushed. I will not allow my lips to be quiet. I will not worry if I'm being too loud, if I'm being too enthusiastic, if I'm being too excited. I will speak of what you have done. Why does God answer our prayers? Why does God sometimes answer our prayers with no? Why does he sometimes answer our prayers exactly the way he does? Why does he show grace and mercy? Why does he show judgment? Why did God create anything? All of the things God does are for his glory. For his glory. What am I supposed to do when God does something in my life? I'm supposed to glorify him. I'm supposed to speak of what he has done. David here says, I will not hide. I will not hoard. Verse 10, I will not hoard your righteousness in my heart. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to keep it for myself. I will speak of your faithfulness. I will speak of your salvation. I will not conceal your loving kindness or your truth from the great congregation. I'm going to speak up. I'm going to speak out. Back in chapter 40, verse 3, I'm going to sing. I'm going to praise. I'm going to worship. I'm going to speak. I'm going to respond in worship. Notice what David says will happen in chapter 40, verse 3. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Many will see and hear. Many will fear, will have a proper respect for God. Many will trust in the Lord. As we respond to what God has done in our lives, as we respond verbally, outwardly, publicly to what God has done in our lives, other people will see and will trust in the Lord. If you and I want to be used by God in what God is doing in other people's lives, we need to let other people know what God is doing in our life. You know, we are not, and I think rightfully so, we are not a denomination, a part of the body of Christ that stresses personal testimonies. And we all can be, listen, we can all be offended by what are sometimes called bragamonies. And we glorify our sin to the point that that's almost, it seems like that's the draw of the, man, this guy, he was so bad. You got to hear this testimony. It's gross. You got to hear, this is great. It is not just my personal, in fact, it's not my personal experience. that is the basis of somebody else's salvation. It is the truth of the Word of God that's the basis of any of our salvation. But as God works in our lives, as we see God working in our lives, as we respond to what He is doing, as we tell other folks what He has done, as we express our thankfulness, as we express His faithfulness to us, God's Word says other people will hear and see that, and they will fear God, and they will trust in Him. Verses 11 through 17. After all that, David turns to the Lord in verses 11 to 17 and says, God, listen, you drew me out of a pit. You drew me out of the pit. You drew me out of the grave. Let me explain something. I'm in a pit. You drew me out of the pit. I'm now in a pit. And I need you. I need you, Lord. Verse 11, preserve me. Verse 12, all right, I am in serious trouble again, the result of my own sin. Verse 13, please deliver me. Verse 16, please cause me to worship you again. Verse 17, you are my help. You are my deliverer. You're my only hope. I've seen you work. I need you to work again. You might be in a pit this morning. It might be a family situation. It might be a job situation. It might be your health, and you don't see a way out. You might be in the pits. Everything about your life is somewhat tiring and depressing. I would call you to look back on God's faithfulness. I would call you to look back at times that God has drawn you out of the pit. I would call you to recommit to a life of joyful, grateful, worshipful obedience. I would call you not to look to yourself or to deception or to cover up. I would call you to look to the Lord for His help and His deliverance and His salvation. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would guard us, guard me from being like the 9 lepers that were healed and went about their way and never thought to thank God for what He had done in their lives. God, make us like the Samaritan leper that you drew back to yourself in thanksgiving and praise and worship. God, we do thank you and praise you for your incredible, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you that as we look back to what you have done, we can look forward to what you're going to do. I pray that you would cause us to live lives of worship in response to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.